Thanks to First Command for supporting this episode of the MillSpouse Matters podcast. Visit firstcommand.com to learn more about free financial coaching, as well as information about military spouse careers. Thanks to Homefront Pumps for supporting this episode of the MillSpouse Matters podcast. Visit homefrontpumps.com to receive your free TRICARE covered breast pump and premium breast milk storage pouches like Kind Twist. Welcome to MillSpouse Matters, the podcast dedicated to encouraging military spouses. I'm Jen McDonald, and I was a military spouse for nearly 30 years until my husband's retirement. I'm also now the mom of an active duty son, a longtime writer for the military spouse world, and the author of the book, You Are Not Alone, Encouragement for the Heart of a Military Spouse. I created this podcast to bring you inspiration as you navigate your own military life, which can be amazing while also challenging. Whether you're dealing with a move, deployment, raising military kids, keeping your military marriage strong, or employment issues, we're going to talk about it. Military spouses, we're only stronger together. My goal is to bring you realistic hope and support for your own MillSpouse journey. So hello, and welcome to episode 42. I'm Jen, and I'm really glad to be talking to you today. So last week, I was going to air this episode that I'd recorded in early May, and then of course, kind of changed and pivoted directions a little bit with everything that was going on in our country. And I did an episode called Difficult Conversations and How to Be an Ally to Our Black Friends. And I just really felt like that was something that I needed to cover and talk about and share some resources from others. Again, I'm not an expert, but I just had the opportunity to share some really amazing resources with you, and I really am thankful for the response. So I'm going to be sharing some listener comments and notes, but before I do that, thank you to everybody who contributed your ideas and resources and tips for this special PCS episode. So a listener named Crystal sent me a note and said, "As an African-American mill spouse, I just want to say thank you for your latest podcast episode. It has been interesting and at the same time draining, navigating the last couple of weeks emotionally and spiritually. Grateful for your words and effort in addressing this issue. One resource I wanted to share is Be the Bridge Organization, which sounds similar to the organization you mentioned on the podcast. However, this organization has been around for a few years, has several resources, and best of all, is gospel-centered. So thank you, Crystal, for sharing that. And I did look at it, and it looks like a really amazing resource, and I will link to it. And again, it's called Be the Bridge. Another listener named Sarah left a review on Apple Podcasts and said, "This podcast validates that it's okay not to be the normal, and we are all in this together as the tight-knit community we are. Every time I listen, I feel like I am becoming a better person for everybody in my life. Thank you for supporting the ones who keep everything afloat back home, even if it's just barely." So thank you both for your kind comments. I really appreciate it, and I do love hearing from you guys. So please keep sharing, and it helps me to know how to guide future content. If you have content ideas or know somebody that would be an amazing guest, let me know. I just have a couple of episodes left in this season, and then I will be taking a break in July and August and coming back strong at the end of August and early September. Remember that you can always find giveaways and extra resources on Instagram at MillSpouseMatters. You can download a 5-day free deployment devotional on my site at MillSpouseMatters.com, as well as anything mentioned that will be in the show notes and also the complete show archive. If you love the show, I do hope you'll subscribe in whatever podcast player you're using and share it with somebody else. And if you leave a 5-star rating and review, I will give you a shout out on the show. Be sure to check out the Christian Military Spouses Facebook group. Just do a search, and there's a couple of questions to answer to make sure that you are a military spouse, and then we'll get you right in. So a couple of places you can find me lately. One was on the Boy Mom podcast with Monica Swanson last month, and that was super fun. Just talking about raising kids in the military life, especially raising boys, and some tips for all ages. So I'm really thankful that she had me come on to share about that topic with her audience. And then I was also on the Spouse Angle podcast with Natalie Gross and just discussing having a child in the military, because our oldest son is now active duty as well, and just how different that is as a mom versus a spouse and some of the changes that come along with that. So I really do hope that you'll check both of those out. So today, as I mentioned, we are discussing all things PCS move related. As you know, there had been a stop movement in place as far as moves went, and I know that some of you are now moving or the move that was on hold has now been rescheduled. I have so much information to share with you, and I really hope you're going to get something out of it, whether it's your first move or your 10th. We're going to talk about some practical tips sprinkled with some funny stories and wise advice from other military spouses and listeners. So some of the things we're going to talk about will be prepping for a move, moving with kids of all ages, moving with pets, and even some thoughts about when it seems like all of your friends are moving, but you're stuck. I'm going to do my best to put some timestamps in the notes so that if you're looking for a specific section, you can find it. There's a ton of info. And it got to be so long that I decided to do a separate episode about house hunting and deciding whether to live in military housing or renting or buying a home and settling in. So that will be on the next episode, where I'm going to be joined by Sharon Grand from Military by Owner, who will be sharing some expert tips. So when I was looking for information for this episode, I pulled up a long, long list of things I've written or put together over the years from magazines and online sites, and I will make a download of it all at some point. But for now, you can find the list at jenmcdonald.net/PCS resources, and that will be linked in the show notes as well. If you're not currently in a moving season, please share this with somebody else who could use the info or tuck it away for later, or even just give it a listen and maybe reminisce about some of your own moving experiences if you're not in a moving season right now. As I mentioned, I did record it last month, so if there is a reference to early June or, you know, a time frame that doesn't seem to fit, that's why I just missed it. I did my best to pull all of that out, but I think the information will apply as we head into the delayed PCS move season. And as always, take a look at official DOD resources or always check in with your installation. Do not go by rumors on social media. Everybody has an opinion, but really what it's going to come down to is the command you're under and what the DOD says. And I will link to some good sources for that. So buckle up. I think this is going to be really fun. And thanks for listening. We're just going to dive right in. I am going to do my very best not to speak in too much military ease for those of you who might be facing your very first move. So let's take a moment to kind of define some of the terms we're talking about. So PCS stands for permanent change of station, which is basically when the military says it's time to leave the current duty station you're at, and they give you official orders for the service member to move on. And those can be accompanied or unaccompanied. We're not going to get too much into that. You can go to move.mil for a lot of definitions and explanation of some of these terms. But if you are moving, then you are, as a family, you are probably on accompanied orders. Like I said, we're not going to get too much into that. So this time of year is the typical PCS season, spring and summer. And this year is a little bit different because of the stop movement orders because of COVID-19. It does appear that the moving season will be picking up soon. The stop movement order was issued early during the coronavirus outbreak, and it restricted international and domestic movement on any government-funded travel for all DOD, Department of Defense, service members, civilian personnel, and dependents. So like I said, it looks like they will start the moving season up pretty soon again, so it's always a good idea to be prepared. So let me tell you another couple of terms that you might hear thrown around if you're not used to this kind of talk. CONUS, C-O-N-U-S, is the continental U.S. That's the 48 contiguous states, not including Alaska and Hawaii. OCONUS, overseas, is international plus Hawaii and Alaska. Household goods, you'll hear that a lot, HHG, or see it abbreviated that way. And that's just basically all your belongings, basically your household goods. And so the military may move you, well, they do move you, or you may choose to do it yourself. So if you choose to have the military do it, they will hire a moving company to come and pack up everything and ship it for you. Ship it overseas, OCONUS, or within the United States. If you decide to do a personally procured move, PPM, or what most of us oldies call a DITY, which stands for do it yourself, a ditty move within the military. You're responsible for packing, unpacking, transporting, and it may sound really complicated, and it can be, but there are some people that really love to do this because they actually end up making a little bit of money off of it because the government will pay you 95% of the cost they would hire a moving company for. So if you can move your belongings yourself for less money, you get to keep the difference. That's something you might want to check out. Also, you can do a partial ditty or partial PPM, especially within the United States where you pack a few boxes. There's things you need to go through with weighing those and criteria you have to meet. You can't just say, I'm doing it. So if you want to be reimbursed for moving part of it yourself. Unaccompanied baggage is when you send a small part of your total weight allowance separately, and that's usually to an overseas move, and that would be things that you kind of need right away while you wait for the rest of your belongings. POV, your privately owned vehicle. The government will pay to ship one POV overseas. Non-temporary storage would be long-term storage of your belongings rather than shipping them, and it just may be a remote location or it may be someplace where you don't have room for it. And again, there's criteria for all of this. So move.mil is the official Department of Defense site for all of these things. And of course, the military member will be working with their transportation office where they're stationed. And so this is not stuff you have to figure out. Like, you don't have to sit and go, oh no, I need to figure out. I'm just letting you know some of the terms that we're going to be talking about. Moving on. For our family, we had a lot of PCS moves. I think when we did a count, we actually lived in 24 different houses, which is a crazy story because sometimes we would move and then we'd end up moving on base, or we'd move on base and then they'd have us move to a different house on base. It just was the way it was. We actually had PCS move orders, I believe 13 times, with four overseas tours in there, bringing along four kids and a dog. And trust me, I don't claim to know everything because there's always something new to learn, but I have learned a few things along the way that I hope could maybe help you make your next move a little easier. And just a reminder, anything I mention is a tip to help you, but you should always, always, always check with official DOD resources or your local transportation office, whatever you call it in your branch of the military. We call it TMO in the Air Force, and they're the ones handling your move and are responsible for transporting your belongings. Your service member will be dealing with the local transportation management, like I mentioned, and you can always find official info again at move.mil. Here we go. Let's start off with a few stories from other military spouses. From Maggie, we just PCS'd with a toddler and an 11-week-old in the middle of this pandemic, as my husband was deemed essential. It was tough, but I'm glad to have it behind us. The best piece of advice I can give is be flexible, set realistic expectations, and give yourself and your family extra grace and patience. From Danielle, the craziest move we've made was our road trip from Florida to California with my husband, baby, and I all sick. We spent what should have been a night of rest in the ER, worried about a crazy high fever. Then, when the U-Haul towing our second car slowed to a mere 20 miles an hour, I swear that's what it felt like, going up and down the hills, I was over it. You better believe I lost my gosh darn mind when it started to smoke and we still had half a day to go. Anyway, my advice is simple. Maybe know your limitations and let the military pay for movers. Kids change the process a bit. I act like we're done with ditty moves, but there's a solid chance that enough time will pass and we'll try it again. From Claire, we found one of our movers sleeping on the moving truck and later found him watching the Lego movie with our kids in the den. He didn't lift a finger. So Claire sent me a photo of him asleep in the moving van, which I think I'm going to have to share with you because it's one of those too crazy, not to be true kind of stories. If it's your first PCS move, manage expectations. You will be exhausted. So you want to set up care for your pets, children, and plan to put up your feet at the end of each day. Even if you're not packing yourself, there's just a lot of logistics that go on. You're going to be tired. So the weeks coming up to a move are the time to deep clean, hold a garage sale, and donate extra items. So it's kind of a running joke in my family that the only reason my drapes were ever washed or my curtains were ever cleaned was moving every year. And there was a point of our lives where we spent about 6 years running that we moved every single year. So before the Packers arrive, here are a few practical tips, and one of them is budget. So plan ahead in your budget for if you're moving out of a rental and you're going to need to make some repairs, or if you're a homeowner and you're selling, or just having to replace items, set some money aside in your budget for that. If you have a home and you're putting it up for rent and you might need to have some extra money for a mortgage payment that there's a gap in there, go ahead and think about that. If you have a pet, and we'll talk more about pets in a minute, you're going to need to be paying for vaccinations, health checks, quarantines, possibly if you're moving overseas, boarding fees, travel costs for your animal. Moving your vehicle. If you're moving overseas and you have more than one car, you may end up paying to ship another vehicle or a motorcycle or something else. Think about that you're going to have to restock your home. So you'll be doing like a huge grocery shop, or you're going to have things that you need to fill spaces in. So I wrote an article about this for Military by Owner, and it's called Don't Forget These 5 Expenses in Your PCS Budget, and you can find out more about all of those categories. So some more tips before the move. Create a PCS binder. Now, we do so much electronic, we may not think that this is important, but it is. You're going to want to put the copies of orders, your moving papers, financial documents, school records, any employment certifications you have, all in one spot. And also, you want to hand carry things like your birth and marriage certificates, custody papers, and your passports. Set aside your passports. And I am embarrassed to say it, but I'm going to just tell you the story, because we had been moving for 20 years and we were leaving Germany. We had our passports set aside, and somehow they got packed and they ended up in a box, and my husband ended up having to go to the warehouse. Thankfully, they had not left the country yet and had to go through all these boxes to find our passports. I mean, it was one of those panic moments of, oh, crud, we're all packed out. And if it's on a boat, on a slow boat to the US, we are stuck, or we were going to have to figure out something. So it happens. So set aside all your important papers in one spot that you can just grab and probably put in a backpack or in a bag while you move. You can start grouping items how you'd like them packed. So taking down artwork, wall hangings, putting together like throw rugs and towels and things like that after you've cleaned them. Also, you'll want to contact your local utility companies where you're going to find out their rates and deposits, so you're not caught off guard when you arrive, and check in with the ones where you're leaving to see how much you're going to owe and what the dates are where you need to cut off cable and things like that. So here is a pro male spouse tip, and a lot of people don't know this. Did you know that you may be entitled to pro gear as a spouse? So professional gear is professional books, papers, and equipment, PBP&E. For the service member, they have a set amount, but as a spouse, you may be allowed up to 500 pounds of professional gear of your own, and that won't count against your weight allowance. Well, your weight allowance will be based on your service member's rank and family, and you are allowed a certain number of pounds for your household goods, and anything over that, you will pay for. So if you have pro gear, that doesn't count against your weight allowance, and those items, according to move.mil, again, always verify because things change. So these are defined as something you would need necessary for employment or community support activities at the next duty station or a later destination. So you have to do this ahead of time. You can't just be on the day of moving, oh, that's my pro gear. That's not going to work. Of course, you have to do paperwork. It's the military, right? So if you think you might be eligible to move some pro gear, that would be something to definitely find out about. So another thing you can do before the move is start to build excitement by looking at websites and social media for the new assignment, whether it's schools for your kids or groups for you. So there is a pre-PCS school checklist I'm going to link to, and you can look at sites like Great Schools and School Digger to get ratings and reviews for schools. If you're homeschooling or using a private school, make sure and research your state laws before you arrive, so that you know what to expect. For overseas moves, you will be assigned an overseas sponsor, is somebody that's living there that will help you with some of the logistics of the move. They can even send you like floor plans of housing. They may be the ones that come get you from the airport and kind of show you around. But kids can have their own sponsor too. There is a military youth sponsorship program. So I will link to a resource where you can find out more about that. And then there's also a site called Military Kids Connect, where kids can connect with other military kids before they arrive. And we'll talk more about helping kids cope in just a minute. Another thing you might want to do is take photos and videos of your items, especially high value items. You might need to get an appraisal if you have something especially high value. That's important to do and just have. I love Ziploc bags. So you can take your junk drawer items, puzzle pieces, anything small like that, and put them into Ziploc bags, large and small. And that also works for, like, if it's the day before a move, silverware and utensils, you can just bag them up, like all your knives together, all your forks together. And that way they are clean and unhandled until you open them on the other end. Cover open baskets of toys or those little pieces of, you know, blocks and Legos and things, take some moving wrap and just cover them up so they're not going all over the place inside a box. And just, you're trying to prep as much as possible before the movers arrive, or if you're doing it yourself. And another reminder I want to tell you before the move is take care of yourself. So while it's important that you stay flexible, familiar routines can be really important. So make sure you're getting enough sleep. Try to keep your exercise routines going. And even though the goodbyes are coming up, go ahead and maintain connections. I always prefer to say see you later rather than goodbye, because you just never know when you'll come across friends again. In this unprecedented time in our country, many of us are taking an even closer look at our personal finances. A global pandemic is new to us all, but First Command has experience coaching military families through the most volatile times. There are steps you can take now to organize your financial life, and First Command is ready to help. Visit firstcommand.com/get-started to learn more. So you're expecting? Congrats! Did you know that TRICARE covers a breast pump, breast milk storage bags, lactation sessions, and more? They do. And Homefront Pumps can help walk you through it all. With the best pumps, the best bags, and no upgrade fees, Homefront Pumps has you covered. Visit homefrontpumps.com at any time during your pregnancy to place your order for what you need, and they'll work with you and your doctor to get it all delivered to your door. Looking for kind twist? They have that too. Homefrontpumps.com, best pumps, best bags, and no upgrade fees. Here we go to moving day. So on moving day, keep your sense of humor. The best laid plans will come unglued, so it's just better to expect it and then laugh. Military spouse Betty says, Murphy's Law may very well come into effect. If something can go wrong, it will. Just remember, it will all pass in time, and you will soon be laughing about the stress of a move. Another big tip, and you'll see this all kinds of places, but don't forget, like I said, our dumb passports. Make a don't pack room or space. So either clear out a space. If you have a room or a closet, I recommend that, because then it's just easier to keep it from being accidentally packed. So like a little linen closet or a laundry room, clear it out. Put your luggage in there, papers, jewelry, medication, purses, any electronics that you don't want packed. Mark it really clearly with don't pack and shut the door. In fact, I know some families will just tape it off so that there's no confusion about whether that room should be packed. From Jennifer DeFreitz, she says, make sure to separate the things you need to keep out. I would pack suitcases and a couple of boxes of necessities and keep them in the car, because they will pack everything so fast that you'll end up with nothing. This happened to my husband when he was single. He literally had no clothes and had to buy new. Funny story, they packed my husband's trash. A year later, when he returned from Iraq and we were married, we opened a box that contained a full trash can. Luckily, it was just paper products and empty Doritos bags. So I'll tell you a couple of funny things that we've had packed. One time I was opening a box and I came across a Snickers bar with one bite out of it. And I still would like to know the story of that because I'm pretty sure it was our Snickers bar. So I don't know if that was a kid or a mover that took a bite, heard us coming, shoved it in a box. I've had wet dish rags packed. I've had Tabasco sauce. There was one time I was opening a box and I could smell it and it had broken because it was an overseas move. And there was a broken bottle of Tabasco sauce at the bottom. And the funny thing was, none of us ever have eaten Tabasco sauce or owned it. So again, would love to know that story. I would definitely agree, empty out your trash cans. Do not leave dirty laundry in the hampers because some movers will quite literally pack everything. And there's a friend of mine that had one of those little tiny box turtles. The movers packed it. Like, you can't make this stuff up. And we're not going to talk about the end of that story. But moving on that note, make an unpack first box. So whether you put this in your car or have it packed, put together and clearly mark a box or two of things you don't want to have to hunt for in your new house. So things that you'll need for sanity when you first arrive: bedding, pillows, towels, toilet paper, paper plates, plasticware, shower curtains, rings, broom and dustpan, towels, sheets, an air mattress, coffee maker, a couple of pots and pans, wine glasses, sippy cups, or whatever else you consider essential that you were not going to have the time or energy to have to run out and grab. Just have it and mark it really clearly. Unpack first. Also, on moving day, color code. A lot of people will use color code for their kids' rooms. And here's the beauty in this. This was a really smart one that I didn't realize until the end of our time moving, was taking that washi tape or that pattern tape and pick one for each room or child. And then even though they're going to mark on the box what room, sometimes it's very vague. It'll say like kids' room and you know, you have four kids. You're like, which room? So you just put a piece of that tape on the box as they're packing them. And then when you get to the other end, you put an X on the door with that same color tape. I hope this is making sense. And they won't have to ask you. They'll just know that the box with that same pattern goes in that room. And that just takes away some of the where does this go question. So the other thing we do is feed our movers. A fed mover is a happy mover. I know a lot of them get pizza over and over. So we actually ask them, we'll just say, you know, would you guys prefer pizza? Would you rather have sandwiches? And they're always really grateful because sometimes they've had like pizza 4 days in a row, which not that they're not grateful for free food, but we will usually give them a choice. And I always keep water bottles and sodas. And I let them know that those are for them. So they don't have to keep asking me if they can have it. So I'll just make a big cooler and put it out for them. And I would say keep a watchful eye. While you can't be everywhere, especially like if the service member is not there with you and you're kind of handling it alone, just walk around, maybe have a friend come over and keep an eye on packing as it goes on and speak up. If you don't feel items are being handled correctly, you will have somebody from the military that's representative that you can contact to, it should be like a QA person swing by during the day of your move or some, find out from your service member who the contact is that if you have a concern, stop things and speak up. Don't leave it. These are your things and it's important. So, I mean, honestly, most of our moves have gone pretty well, but we've had some bad moments. I remember when we were in Guam, they were taking down this big cabinet off the moving truck. And I could see as they were moving it off the truck that all these pieces were falling out of the bottom of it. And what had happened was it was our game cabinet and toy cabinet. And rather than taking things out of it, they had just wrapped the whole shelf and moved it. It had gone all the way across the Pacific Ocean like that. So as you can imagine, everything had kind of rattled out and it was a mess. We've also had things happen where one time somebody packed heavy weights, dumbbells in the bottom of an antique china cabinet. I do not know what they were thinking. I guess they were just like, oh, I'll stick these in here. We've had glassware put in a box with no packing materials for overseas. And so it's just trying to kind of keep your eye on it. You know, they're not always going to pack things like you would, and speak up if you need to. Another thing I ask the movers to do is screws and bolts for beds, cribs, shelves, ask them to tape the hardware to the piece of furniture that it goes with if they're taking things apart. I do not like those bags of or boxes of all the hardware because it's hard just to kind of sort out what goes with what on the other end. So I'm always thinking about like, what is this going to be like when I go to unpack? On moving day, because it could take more than a day, pack the bed and blankets last. Because if we have one last night in our own bed, then we're going to take it. I also ask that they leave a couple chairs out till the end so that I'm not having to stand up all day, which sounds really lazy, but it gets really tiring. If you're just standing there because you have the little clipboard and the checklist and you're kind of trying to watch things, I need a chair to sit on. So maybe just leave out a folding chair or something. I would also say this is not like a moving tip. Take a moment and take a picture in front of your old house because you may never be back that way again. I really wish I had more of that sort of thing. So here are some tips for moving with kids. From Andrea. For moms with kids, I let my boys pack books and activity books in their backpacks. I usually get them new books for the occasion. That way they're interested. Then I choose a small bin for each of them and they get to choose toys to bring. The only rule is that whatever they pick has to fit in the bin. There are usually two items that they can carry and take care of on their own, the backpack and the bin. Jessica says, on flights with small children, use your car seat if FAA approved. If your car seat isn't approved or you cannot manage to bring it on board, use a Kids Fly Safe harness. It makes the lap belt into a 5-point harness, and the kiddo is secure and safe. Always pack an overnight bag carry-on. Call ahead to see where the USO is located in relation to your flight terminal, and also see if there's a porter service. If you're driving, pack a diaper, clothes change, plastic tote, and keep it at the foot of the car seat. Spare clothes, wipes, diapers, medication, shoes, snacks, changing pads, and Ziplocs. It makes it easy if a child gets sick or you have a quick rest stop. You can use the Ziploc to store soiled items so you can see them. I've thrown away one too many cute and special outfits because they ended up in a grocery bag. Dasha says, always inspect what you expect. Our 10-year-old son packed his own suitcase, and I didn't find out until later in the hotel that his bag was full of toys, no clothes. That's hilarious. Laura says, so many stories. One move we did, I was 5 months pregnant, has the most stories. We drove from South Texas to Montana over 3 days' time with 2 cars, 5 children, and me 5 months pregnant in July. M. Baker says, best PCS advice is to be flexible and go with the flow. Plan your stops throughout the trip to see new things. When you're in for the night, instead of just sitting in a hotel, explore the area. Emerson says, our move to our first duty station, we took the train. Our car wasn't going to be able to make the cross-country trip, and it was really too small for our growing family anyways. So we sold it the day we left and took a very relaxing trip from Philly to El Paso for 4 days. Our youngest was only 6 months and still nursing at the time, so I really didn't want to fly. And we were able to take so much more stuff with us on the train for free, 6 carry-ons and 8 checked bags. The tickets for all of us were less expensive than the price it would have cost for my husband to fly to Texas with us, since the Army wouldn't pay for his ticket. I would take the train everywhere if I could, especially for overnight trips. We didn't even need a sleeper car. So 2 nights we slept on the train, and on the middle night they switched trains, so we got a hotel suite that I found for cheap, super cheap. The baby didn't really sleep much on the train, but they had a lounge car where I could hang out with him and watch the scenery pass in the dark. The seats were roomy enough, though, that my husband and 7-year-old daughter were both able to sleep comfortably. I want to mention real quick that Extended Stay America has a 60% off for affordable hotels with kitchen, perfect for long stays. And you can find out more about that for their best rates if you're looking for from 1 to more night. It's not like it has to be a long stay. So I do have a link that you can use to find out more about the discount. And if you use that link to book it, I do get a small affiliate fee. It doesn't cost you more. It just helps support the podcast and my blog. So moving in day. You've arrived at your new location. The moving truck is there and you're faced with a mountain of boxes. So where to begin? First off, I do want to mention, I didn't talk about this earlier, about tipping movers. That's always kind of a question. Like I mentioned, we always fed our movers and some people think that that's fine and that's all. We did always feed and tip our movers because it is a hard job and it's not a high paying job. So offer a tip at the end of the job if it's customary in your area or you feel it's warranted. Opinions are varied on this, but we have learned that erring on the side of generosity for the people who are handling our belongings seems to be a good policy and just kind of one that we always did. There's two schools of thought when it comes to unpacking. I always had them unpack the kitchen and set up beds and furniture or anything that they've taken apart. And that way it's livable and I can get to the rest of it as I get to it. Here's another spouse. Dasha says, have the movers unpack everything the day they move it in. It's a crazy mess for a day or two, but it also forces you to completely move in instantly. Otherwise, boxes can linger for weeks or months, making it feel like you're still moving in that entire time. Bonus of having the movers unpack is that they haul away all the papers and boxes, and all you have to do is put stuff away. So I have done that once, felt like I was drowning. So I usually, like I said, had them unpack part of it and got to the rest, called them to come pick up boxes. So unpack the bed and couches first, because no matter what else happens, you're going to be ready to fall into your own bed. I usually also start with the kitchen and living areas and set the rest in the garage to deal with later. If you have your beds or a place to sleep set up, that helps you if you have little ones that need naps. Get your kids to help unpack. This gives them something to do and kind of helps them feel some ownership in the new place. And as mine got older, they completely unpacked their own rooms while I would work on the rest of the house. One spouse recommends create a keepsake with moving stickers as you take those stickers off all your belongings. Have a clear ornament ready or just set them aside to put on a clear ornament later. And every PCS, they did that because there are different colors and each PCS will provide a unique holiday decoration. Now, if you're just arriving in whether or not you're a seasoned spouse or not, attend newcomers briefings. If you're brand new to the military, that'll be great for you to kind of get a feel for what is available. If you're more seasoned, it can give you some ideas for plugging into your new community and just help you make connections. From Michelle, I don't have any tips. This is only my second PCS move, my husband's millionth. Our first together was utter chaos, getting married, shuffling kids around, household goods getting packed up a month early, moving across the country to possibly the most remote army post in the country, and this one is no different. A pandemic, orders continuously being changed, a high school graduation, big quotes because we all know how that is right now, two adult children moving out, buying a house in another state before the pandemic hit the fan, and getting ready to move with just an 8-year-old and our dogs all by myself. Yeah, I think I would say you've already packed a lot into just two moves, Michelle. So moving on to an overseas move. There is a lot to consider, and this is definitely a topic all on its own. And I did do an episode with Tara House. I believe it's episode 2, but I will link to it, where we talked about moving overseas. So you're going to be transporting a vehicle, dealing with different rules about pets, flying, dealing with the time change and jet lag, culture shock, lots to think about. We did briefly talk about unaccompanied baggage. So that's just going to be an option for shipments where a small part of your weight allowance of your household goods is expedited to your new location, typically gets there pretty quickly and just kind of sees you through until the rest of your things arrive. And if you're moving overseas, you'll usually have a loaner closet or loaner furniture until your goods arrive. So check with the base you're going to see what they offer. They can have beds, couches, the whole set of like dishes and things for your kitchen. So there's a few ways to prepare for an overseas move. I'm going to link to a couple of articles I've written about moving overseas. One is tips to prepare for your overseas move. Kind of some of the things we've already talked about with move.mil, your transportation office. If you are shipping a POV or your vehicle, visit PCS My POV to get the official word on what you need to do and prepare to ship your vehicle. We talked about connecting with your overseas sponsor. And also that military kids could have their own sponsor too. And there is another post called Ease the PCS Transition with the Youth Sponsorship Program. Don't forget about your travel documents. Do you need a visa? Make sure and bring your passport, like we mentioned. You need to start early with pet travel plans, vaccinations, and quarantine requirements, because some places will have you that you'll need to quarantine your pet for some weeks after you get there. A lot of overseas locations will have a smaller place for you to live, so you may need to downsize. So this is the time to think about that. Decide if you want to sell things or leave things behind, or even look at long-term storage. So think ahead too. This is a pro tip I have heard from another spouse about items that could be hard to come by in a new location. So ask your sponsor and plan ahead. So like if you have medications that you need that are going to be harder for you to get, eyeglasses, or even favorite staples that you want to make sure you have and that you could possibly hand carry or ship in your household goods. We were homeschooling. So one thing I did was, kids didn't love this, especially if we were moving and it was like a new school year coming up. I would go ahead and order the school books for the coming year and ship them to the PSC, Postal Service Center, because you'll have an address to forward things to and it would all be waiting there for us. And so if we had weeks and weeks in lodging, we could go ahead and do school. If you have irreplaceable items like your wedding dress, antiques, old photos, you may try to find somebody to leave them with or put them into storage rather than shipping them back and forth overseas. This is from Amity. When moving to England, do not let the packers mark your kids' stuffed animals as such. Customs will hold your shipment to clarify that they are not taxidermied animals. That's interesting. I had never heard that one. Also, use the kitchen utensils label, as knives of certain lengths and features are illegal. Our craziest move was overseas back to the States. We packed out early but lived in an empty house for 6 weeks, lived in TLF for 2 weeks before the flight home and 1 week after, then left hubby to get to work while I took the kids to see the grandparents since our house wasn't ready. Doesn't sound too crazy, right? Except I had a baby 2 weeks after we packed out. I would never recommend packing out heavily pregnant, living in an empty house, or living in TLF with a newborn. I would also not recommend missing a flight when you're the solo parent with 8 kids. They put you on separate flights and scatter your little ones all over the plane. Oh my goodness, that sounds like a nightmare. So we just get through it, don't we, somehow? I actually wrote an article, and I'll link to this too, about why the 13th move is no easier than the first. And I think part of it is because sometimes, like, we're just weary and we know it's coming. For our kids, especially if they've been through it several times, moving with military kids, it can be easy to forget how hard a PCS move can be on them. And it seems like with our 4 kids, they each took turns kind of having a difficult time. So patience and grace will go a long way during this time of transition. Help your kids feel ownership by involving them. Let them pack a special bag, help sort out their rooms, and make time to say goodbye. And as they get older and you leave them behind, it's another type of challenge. I've written about leaving older kids and dealing with leaving them at college while we moved, or having them grow up and move out, and then we're moving somewhere and they, you know, that's not their home and they've never been there. That's a different type of challenge. I also wrote another article about parenting. We're moving, but it's my senior year. A lot of you may find yourself in the position of having to figure out a plan for your high schooler. So let's talk about a couple things. If you're moving during your senior year, understand your rights as a family. The Interstate Compact on Educational Opportunity for Military Children was formed to facilitate record transfers, class placements, and graduation requirements. And I will link to that if you're hitting a wall with any of that. There are lots of resources to help you ease the transition. The student-to-student program through the Military Child Education Coalition, and this is not just for high schoolers, but for kids of all ages. Moving with a high schooler is not ideal, but there's a lot of people that have been through it. And it's not to say that, you know, it's not valid what you're going through, but there are resources to make this easier. So I will link to some things to help you with that. Just a few more tips for kids: making time for goodbyes, connecting with potential friends, like through the youth sponsorship program, and keep talking, because your child may seem fine and they just may not know how to articulate what they're going through, or if you just feel like it doesn't matter because they don't really have a choice in this. So just keep talking and asking questions and checking in with your child, even if they seem to be doing fine. Make some time for fun. It can be really easy for us to get very task-oriented, and we have all these checklists of things we need to do and get done before PCS. So plan a special outing before you move or along the way as you travel and create some new memories. It's important for the whole family to have some downtime. And then when you arrive, let your kids acclimate, let them set the pace, and give them time to process this big change. And encourage them to keep in touch with their old friends if they're wanting to, and don't expect them to just, quote, get over it. Every kid is different, and so some of them will cope just fine, but others will struggle a little bit more. There is confidential help available through Military OneSource. Again, we'll link to that. So, coming to the end here, I know this is kind of long. Like I said, I had so much more I wanted to cover, and I realized this was just going to get way too long. So moving with pets, we've touched a little bit on with the overseas move. Jessica says, if you have pets, see a military vet. Do not mess with civilian vets. We learned that lesson the hard way. 2 days before our flights, after 6 months of back and forth and $600 in fees and testing, we found out they had messed up our paperwork and did not have the proper credentials. Thankfully, a wonderful vet at our Air Force base was able to help us. We got our pets' paperwork squared away, flew into a military base, and were able to complete the required quarantine period in our residence. Moving with pets, you are going to face, it just depends on the state laws and the country you're going to. Some places will have you do a quarantine overseas, so they may need blood tests and getting test results back, and then a time where they are not allowed to be out in the population until a certain amount of time has passed. And then there's also regulations on breeds and species in your new area. So if you're moving into base housing, you'll want to know what's allowed. So your best bet is a visit to the vet, and I have had really good luck with on-base vets for this sort of thing because they are very accustomed to dealing with military moves, and so that makes sense, right? On moving day, you probably, unless you just have a, well, honestly, I usually found somebody to watch my dog. We've known people that the pet accidentally got loose because the door was left open, and it's also just kind of a frightening time for your animal, so it's probably best to find a safe place for them to go. And don't forget to add their things to your don't pack stash. There are some really good resources for a military move with pets. In some of those, you might be surprised. You may be eligible to ship your pet via military transport. I'll link to that. There are limited spaces on AMC flights for overseas PCS travel. And I think there's like a limit of 2 pets per family. So I will send you to the right location to learn more about that. There are also pet transport companies, and they will handle all the details of shipping your pet overseas or even domestically, help you with quarantine and immunization paperwork. But of course, that's going to cost you, and not all companies are equal. So it's recommended to use the International Pet and Travel Association site because they are already pre-screened. There's also pet relocation grants. So the cost of shipping a cat or dog can run anywhere from $200 to $1,000. And then there's all these other fees. So there are several associations that provide pet relocation grants. Operation We Are Here has a list. American Airlines offers 50% off of pet transport for military members. And there's a couple of other places I'll link to that have some grants and help with costs. And there are even pet foster care. If you are facing like a remote military move or deployment and you need to leave your pet behind temporarily, there's some places to connect with temporary pet foster care. So as we come to a close, I did want to just touch on really quick, even though PCS moves have been temporarily put on hold, at times it can seem like all your friends are moving on and you're stuck. And so I've always tried to put my best foot forward. It's not always easy, just depending on it, especially if you don't love the place you're living. It's worth making the effort to not be miserable. So if you find yourself in a not so perfect scenario, how can you manage at a duty station you just don't love to just, if you're listening to this and this is not your year to move, or you have a long time, or you've been in a place a long time, just start small, find something you like and kind of focus on that, whether it's just a little coffee shop that you love, a park you love to go to, or some food that you have never had before. Just find one thing and try to focus on that. Remember that it's not forever. Most of us will be moving on soon. So if you have an annoying neighbor or a job you just don't love, just remember you'll probably not be there forever. Look for your kindred spirit. I know that sounds cheesy, but you just never know where you'll find somebody that's very like-minded. Playdate, newcomers orientation, spouse meeting, even a neighbor. Keep a lookout, because finding a true friend to share a not-so-great duty station can really turn the whole experience around and turn it into your favorite. So how about you? Are you moving soon? I would love to hear how it's going and where you're headed, if your move has been put on hold and what's happening with you, and share your best moving tip. Of course, there's always lots more. We did not get to it all. And just a reminder, the next episode will be all about finding housing, some house hunting tips, settling in, and living in military housing. And I really hope that this has been of some use to you, whether you're moving or not. Tuck it away until you do need it. And as always, wherever in the world this finds you, whatever you're going through, I hope you're doing great, and I'll talk to you next time.